Lecture 9, Mesopotamian Deities.
As we begin to understand in our survey of temples, Mesopotamian religious beliefs are not based on a feeling of faith, but rather on a reverence and a concept of the power of ritual. Temples provided a location for these rituals. In this lecture, we will meet some of the gods who were honored in temples, discuss their powers, their relationship with each other and with their human worshipers, the rituals necessary to encourage the favor of the gods. I will be using names for the gods that are Sumerian. The basic personalities of these deities are the same, but the names can change to reflect a different language, such as Akkadian or Babylonian, so you may see different names as you continue your research into Mesopotamian gods. Worshippers respected and even feared their gods, but they rarely felt a sense of love or support from them. This is not a mystical religion that we'll be discussing today. It's much more submissive and hierarchical. So we see that humans really are at the lowest rung of the hierarchy. Mesopotamian gods and goddesses were powerful, mercurial creatures who demanded complete submission from their human worshippers. There was no desire on the part of mortals to approach or have contact with the gods. In fact, it was much the opposite. They wanted to stay as far away from them and potentially their wrath as possible. The gods were certainly capable of violence against each other, but most more commonly against mortals, against those humans who worshipped them. Even though Mesopotamians envisioned their gods as having human emotions and human form, the natural world was the source of their power. So the Mesopotamian religion is founded on a belief that humans were controlled by more powerful forces, and the source of power was nature, and there's nothing more forceful or unpredictable than nature. So this is what gives the gods their great strength. All aspects of the natural world were believed to have some innate divine power. Natural disasters were the expression of the anger of the gods. And so we see that just as religion is fundamental to Mesopotamian life, that it draws on the surroundings in which people lived in. There are hundreds of deities in the pantheon of gods. If every aspect of nature has a divine force, you can imagine that we couldn't possibly go through all of the deities in one course, even. But four are especially powerful. The divine world, just like the world of humans, followed a social hierarchy. So we'll focus on these particular gods today. An, or Anu, was the god of the highest part of the sky, and he was the sovereign, the father of all of the gods. An rarely paid attention to humans, and he was considered a somewhat remote figure. If he is the deity who is farthest from them, it's not surprising that An would not be interested in what mortals who lived and worked far below him did. An was involved in the creation of the world, but he didn't really care about what happened once this world was created. We have met the god Enlil before, the patron deity of Nippur, and discussed his connection with kings. He was most important as the king of the gods and the god who chose and legitimized the rulers of Akkad and Sumer. Enlil was the master of humanity, but he had a very contentious relationship with his worshippers. He is characterized in hymns and poems as a storm, a wild bull. He's often in a very bad mood, quite a cranky figure, and very impatient, especially with humans. The god Enki is a complex figure. He is the son of An and has many roles. But one of the roles that draws Enki closest to humans is his very interested and special relationship with humans.